Long before there were pianos, there were harpsichords. This keyboard instrument originated in the 15th century and saw the end of its first heyday in the 18th century. J.S. Bach, François Couperin, and Domenico Scarlatti were some of its greatest devotees before it fell out of fashion and the piano took center stage. And yet, in the second half of the 20th century, the seemingly obsolete harpsichord made an extraordinary comeback.
Every single solitary wooden part that goes into the harpsichord is made in this room.
This is the Stonington workshop of Zuckerman Harpsichords International, the largest harpsichord workshop in the United States. Its owner, Richard Auber, is showing me around.
I've got this core group of four woodworkers right here in this room that make the parts of the harpsichords from whatever material comes in through this back door. They tend to make a lot of noise during what they're doing, which makes it impossible for the musical action people to do their job, because even though it's a 10,000 square foot building, if you're trying to tune and everything, you want to put a bullet in your head.
The team solves that noise issue by working in shifts. The woodworkers have the place to themselves in the morning before the musicians and finishers come in the afternoon.
Well, right now I'm making key end blocks. They go on the sides of the keyboards and they have a molding on them so that the keys fit in between it nicely.
Will Plough went to art school, but 7 years ago he took a detour into woodworking at Zuckerman and never left.
I really wanted to do something where I could use my hands and learn something. And in this place, every single day I learn. We'll talk for an hour about how to make a piece of wood. You know, we're not the computer-generated machines of the new era. We have to use our hands and brains.
Just down the hallway in the action finishing room, the wooden cases begin to look like instruments.
So everyone takes care of the soundboard, they get everything laid out with the strings, and then I come in.
Richard Auber's son, Jordan, is just 18, but he's also part of the team. Think of the harpsichord as looking like a small and rather spindly grand piano. Like a piano, it has strings that are played with keys, but the mechanism for making the sound is completely different. While a piano has hammers that strike the strings when a key is pressed, the harpsichord has a plectrum which plucks the string.
It's this plastic piece, so it has this little thing here called plectra. It's this little black thing that sticks out of here, and that's what's going to pluck the string when it gets pushed up and down.
This company was started 50 years ago by the German-born, US-based Wolfgang Zuckerman. Originally an amateur musician, he became interested in harpsichords and started building them in his New York workshop. Richard Auber says Zuckerman soon had more orders than he could cope with and told some of his clients if they didn't want to wait, he could send them the parts and they could assemble the instrument themselves.
And he quickly realized that there was, you know, more money, frankly, in doing that than incurring the labor expenses and the headaches of dealing with the backlog of orders that he couldn't fulfill. And the harpsichord kit was born, and thousands of those were sold all over the world.
That original simple kit, which is only distantly related to the antique harpsichords of the 18th century, became known as the Z-Box.
That original Z-Box by Wolfgang Zuckerman was the beginning of the company, and it was so successful, it actually contributed to the early music revival, certainly around this country, but really even around the world.
In the late 60s, Zuckerman sold the company to instrument builder David Way, and it was Way who made two fundamental changes. He moved the workshop to Stonington, and he began reproducing historically accurate instruments based on antiques, something that was starting to be demanded by the burgeoning early music scene. The company reached the peak of its reputation in this period, as Way made instruments for some of the top players in the world, including Trevor Pinnock. Way died suddenly in 1994, and Auber took over the company. In recent years, he's expanded his team.
To really test drive the instrument, you've got to have somebody that plays at a professional level. And the solution that I hit upon ultimately was to just always have a young and upcoming harpsichordist on the staff.
The first person to be appointed as an artist in residence at Zuckerman is Emmerich Dupré Latour. I met him as he prepared for a concert in Stonington. The harpsichord is a temperamental beast, and it needs at least an hour of tuning for every event.
This is the purest chord in the system we have here. This is good. the good keys. G, C, F.
Harpsichords aren't tuned like the modern piano. The tuning system is the authentic Baroque method, where not every key sounds the same. To modern ears, some sound out of tune.
The composer of the Baroque, they actually use these. So if you're in B-flat, that would be a painful chord. But it would. It would be actually a desired effect, so they use these chords that are not well in tune to express painful feelings.
Dupre Latour has been joined at Zuckerman by Russian-born Elena Zamolodchikova. She's currently finishing her doctorate in harpsichord.
I knew Zuckerman long before I came here, and I didn't expect, to be honest with you, to come and be able to work at the factory that I knew from long time ago.
Richard Auber says it's difficult to say how many finished instruments the shop produces in any given year. It still makes kits for enthusiasts to build themselves and supports repairs on all of the instruments that Zuckerman has made over 50 years of production.
None of us get rich making harpsichords, as you can well imagine. But for the people that do need and want a harpsichord, I want to be able to give them something that really and truly is a work of art from beginning to end.
Harriet Jones, WNPR News.